dumpster places. We drop off the children. Troublemakers, and caused trouble amongst them, incited them and caused trouble. To such an extent that eventually he brought these troublemakers to Al-Madinah. He incited them against Uthman radiallahu anhu, against the Khalifa Uthman radiallahu anhu, speaking against him and inciting them against him, saying things about him and inventing things against him. To the point that he got this group of troublemakers to come to Al-Madinah at the time of Hajj. And they came and they faced Uthman radiallahu anhu with these false charges that they brought. So Uthman radiallahu anhu, he rebutted everything they brought and showed that it was baseless. So then they went back, but on the way back they spoke amongst themselves, and they said, look, we've achieved nothing. We've come here for this, to do what we came for. We're going back with nothing. So then they went back to Al-Madinah, and the trouble continued. And some of the companions sought the permission of Uthman radiallahu anhu to defend him and repel these evildoers. But when the situation became serious, then Uthman radiallahu anhu, he refused permission for any defending of him, for anything that would lead to fighting or the shedding of blood. So things continued and worsened until these evildoers broke in. They besieged Uthman radiallahu anhu in his house. And in this period, the period when many of the Muslims and the army were performing Hajj, and by night as well, when people were asleep, then they finally broke into the house of Uthman radiallahu anhu and they killed him. So then Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that is when the door to discord really opened. And sectarianism began, and infighting began, and has continued from that time until this time. However, no doubt discord occurred. However, Islam itself remained firm. The plot of this individual was to undermine the whole religion so that the religion would fall apart. But he did not achieve anything with regard to that. Rather, Islam and all praises for Allah remained firm. And no doubt trouble came about, sectarianism reared up and grew, and infighting and differences, and these differences occurred and increased and grew until the time of the Abbasid Khilafah. And the Khilafah of Al-Ma'mun, who became Khalifa in the year 198, the end of the second century of Islam. And at that time, then, the authorities took on the innovation of the Jahmiyyah. And they took on, from those innovations, the saying that the Qur'an is created. And on account of that, great trials occurred. Imams were put to trial, entered into prison, imprisoned, tortured, killed, on account of this trial. However, there were those who remained firm upon the Sunnah. So from that time until this time, there has been trouble and discord. What is counted, what's important, is that there will always remain people who remain firm upon the Sunnah. And Shaykh al-Fawzan made a point within what he mentioned, that what is counted in somebody's call is that his call is upon the truth, upon the correct methodology. He's calling to the book and the Sunnah, upon the correct way. And that there are many people these days who they cover themselves with the cover of da'wah. We're giving da'wah. If you examine what they're giving da'wah to, then they're giving da'wah to falsehood. So what is not counted is that somebody, he's a caller, he's a da'i, he's a caller, giving da'wah, and that's sufficient. No, what is required is giving a call, giving da'wah to the truth, upon the correct methodology, the correct manhaj. And Shaykh Fawzan said, and that will not be achieved and realized except with two matters. That the person is upon al-ilm al-nafi', correct and beneficial knowledge, awareness of what Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually upon, him and his companions, and those who followed their way. And secondly, by having sabr and thabat, patience upon that, patience in being firm upon that, and thabat, being firm upon it, and not being led one way or the other by discord, trials and tribulations, nor by the callers to misguidance. Then Imam al-Barbahari Nothing more like. He continued. This is a continuation of the point. You see, notice there are no actual numbers here. It's a continuation. This occurs here on page 431. That Imam al-Bahari, rahimahullah, he continued. وَدَعَوْا إِلَى الْفُرْقَةِ وَقَدْ نَهَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ عَنِ الْفُرْقَةِ وَكَفَّرَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا وَكُلٌّ دَعَى إِلَى رَأِيهِ وإلى تكفير من خالفه فضل الجهال والرعاء ومن لا علم له وأطمع الناس في شيء من أمر الدنيا وخوفوهم عقاب الدنيا فاتبعهم الخلق على خوف في دينهم ورغبة في دنياهم. فهي said رحمه الله, having mentioned these calls to discord who appeared, he said, and they called to sectarianism, furqa, and Allah the Mighty and Majestic forbade sectarianism. Some of them declared others to be disbelievers, and everyone called to his own opinion. And to calling those who disagreed with him, disbelievers. So the ignorant people, the rabble, and those having no knowledge, went astray. They caused the people to become greedy for the things of this life, and to fear worldly punishment. So the people followed them upon fear regarding their religion, and out of hope for what they possessed from this world. And some of the versions have at the end there, فَاتَّبَعَهُمُ الْخَلْقُ عَلَىٰ خَوْفٍ فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ instead of فِي دِينِهِمْ. So the last line upon that, for those versions, would be, so the people followed them upon fear regarding their worldly life, and out of hope for what they possessed from this world. Wallahu a'lam. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, he's saying, وَدَعَوْا إِلَى الْفُرْقَةِ وَقَدْ نَهَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ عَنِ الْفُرْقَةِ, and they called to sectarianism, and Allah the Mighty and Majestic has forbidden sectarianism. Shaykh Fawzan said, Allah has forbidden sectarianism, splitting, al-furqa. So he said, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Surah Al-Imran, the third surah, Ayah 105, with the explanation. And do not be like those who split up and differed after the clear signs had come to them. And he quotes the second ayah, وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ. Surah Al-Bayyinah, the 98th surah, ayah 4, with the explanation. And those who were given the scripture did not differ except after the clear truth had come to them. Shaykh Fawzan said, so they, meaning the people of the scripture before, they differed and split, not upon ignorance, but rather upon knowledge. They differed and split, not because of jahl, ignorance, but rather upon knowledge, ilm. And he said, he's saying, وَكَفَّرَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا, and some of them declared others to be disbelievers. Shaykh Fawzan said, the firq, the sects, they started declaring each other to be disbelievers. And this is a sign which is manifest upon them. It's a sign which is clear, manifest upon them. And this is a proof that they are all upon falsehood. As for the people of the truth and the people of the sunnah, then they do not declare each other to be disbelievers. Rather, they are friends and allies to each other. They love each other, and they support each other, and they advise each other. And likewise, they do not declare the other sects to be disbelievers, except for what the book and the sunnah proves to be disbelief. Except for one, whom is proven to be upon disbelief by the book and the sunnah. Otherwise, they are justly balanced. It is the case that they are justly balanced with regard to the matter of takfir. The people of the sunnah, with regard to the issue of takfir, declaring people disbelievers, they are justly balanced. They do not declare anyone a disbeliever, except for those whom the proof is established that he is a disbeliever. And they are not hasty with regard to this matter. They don't go to either extreme. They don't say a Muslim, he never, doesn't matter what he does, he never becomes a disbeliever. They don't go to that extreme. He can do whatever he likes, believe whatever he likes, he doesn't become a disbeliever. Or the other extreme, that they declare people disbelievers on account of sin, committing sins, and no, neither extreme, as the Sheikh said. Rather, they are justly balanced in the matter of takfir. They do not declare as disbelievers except those whom the proof is established that he is a disbeliever. And they are not hasty in this matter. And he said, he's saying, وَكُلُّمْ دَعَى إِلَى رَأِيهِ وَتَكْفِيرِ مَنْ خَالَفَهُ. And each one called to his own opinion, and to declaring those who disagreed with him to be disbelievers. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is a sign of the people of misguidance. He the Most High said, فَتَقَطَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُغُرًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Surah Al-Mu'minun, the 23rd Surah, Ayah 53, with the explanation. So they split into parties and sects, each one following a separate book, every group rejoicing in what it was upon. Shaykh Fawzan said, Zuburan, meaning books. They authored books. And this occurs. They author books to support their own position and their own party. And they rejoice in what they are upon. And if they had just been upon ignorance, then it could be hoped that they would return. However, they rejoice in what they are upon from falsehood. And they believe it to be true. They believe it to be the truth. And this is a punishment from Allah for them. If they're upon ignorance, they didn't know that they're just ignorant, then maybe they'd return back when the truth is given to them, maybe they'd come back to the truth. However, as the Sheikh said, that's not the case with these people. Rather, they rejoice in what they're upon from falsehood. They believe it to be the truth. And as he said, this is a punishment from Allah for them. And he said, he's saying, فَضَلَّ الْجُهَالُ وَالْرِعَاءُ وَمَنْ لَا عِلْمَ عِنْدَهُمْ. So the ignorant people and the ri'ah, the rabble, the common rabble, and those who had no knowledge went astray. The Sheikh said, they led the ignorant people astray, and the rabble, and those who had no knowledge. But as for the people of the truth and the people of knowledge, then they are not affected by these sects and these misguidances. because they know that it is falsehood. He said, he's saying, وَأَطْمَعُ النَّاسَ فِي شَيْءٍ مِّنْ أَمْرِ الدُّنْيَا وَخَوَّفُوهُمْ عِقَابَ الدُّنْيَا. He said, and they caused the people to become greedy for things of this world. And they caused them to fear the punishment of this world. He said, Sheikh Fawzan said, that is from the means which they utilize in their trial, that they give their followers some of the things which they crave after. These people are misguided people. They give people who follow them some of the things they crave after from the things of this world. He said, he's saying, فَاتَّبَعَهُمُ الْخَلْقُ عَلَى خَوْفٍ فِي دِينِهِمْ وَرَغْبَةٍ فِي دُنْيَاهُمْ. So the creation followed them, therefore, upon fear with regard to their religion, and upon hope with regard to what they had of this world. Sheikh Fawzan said, many of the people have love of this world, so therefore they will follow anyone who will give them anything from wealth, even if he is upon falsehood, as a result of their craving for wealth. Then Imam al-Barrahari rahimahullah continued, فصارت السنة وأهل السنة مأتومين وظهرت البدعة وفشت وكفروا من حيث لا يعلمون من وجوه شتى ووضعوا القياس وحملوا قدرة الرب وآياته وأحكامه وأمره ونهيه على عقولهم وآرائهم فما وافق عقولهم قبلوه وما خالف عقولهم ردوه فصار الإسلام غريبا والسنة غريبة وأهل السنة غرباء في جوف ديارهم. He said, so the Sunnah and the people of the Sunnah were suppressed, and innovations appeared and became widespread. The people committed disbelief in many ways which they were not aware of. They applied analogy and considered the ability of the Lord, His signs, His rulings, His commands and His prohibitions according to their own intellects and opinions. So whatever accorded with their intellects, they accepted it. And whatever ran contrary to their intellects, they rejected it. So Islam became a stranger, and the Sunnah became a stranger, and the people of the Sunnah became strangers within their own homes. Sheikh Fawzan, hafizullah, he said, he's saying, فَصَارَتِ السُّنَّةُ وَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ مَأْتُومِينَ وَظَهَرَتِ الْبِدْعَةُ وَفَشَتْ. So the Sunnah and the people of the Sunnah became suppressed, and innovations appeared and became widespread. He said, after the people of the Sunnah had been apparent in the Qurun al-Mufaddala, in the most excellent generations, and the people of evil had been subdued, then the affair became turned around, and the people of the Sunnah became subdued, put down, suppressed, and the people of falsehood became apparent. However, this will not persist, will not carry on forever like this. Even if the people of falsehood become apparent at one time, then they will decline in the future, and they will collapse in the future. And the final outcome will always be for the people of taqwa, those who are dutiful to their Lord. And Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, وَالْحَقُّ مَنْثُورٌ وَمُمْتَحَنٌ فَلَا تَعْجَبْ فَهَذِي سُنَّةُ الرَّحْمَنِ. This quote being from Al-Kafiyatu, his famous poem Al-Kafiyatu al-Shafiyah, along with the explanation of it, maybe a reference there, with the explanation, and the truth is aided and tested, so do not be surprised, for this is the way of the most merciful. The truth is no doubt aided, but it's also put to test. It's tested. People are tested and tried. So therefore, do not be surprised. Indeed, this is the way of the most merciful. The way that this happens is the way of the most merciful. He said, he's saying, وَوَضَعُ الْقِيَاسِ, and they applied analogy. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, analogy, qiyas, meaning in aqidah, in creed and belief. In what's been referred to in the text here, that they applied analogy, meaning they applied analogy in aqidah, creed and belief. Because aqidah, creed and belief, has no analogy in it. Because it is tawqifiyya. It's reliant upon direct text. Action with regard to it is not upon except a proof, which is proven by a proof, and no analogy is made in matters of creed and belief. Analogy can only be in fiqh. The qiyas, drawing analogy, deriving rulings based upon analogy of one thing with another, can only be in fiqh, cannot be in matters of aqidah, creed and belief. He's saying, وَحَمَلُوا قدرة الرب وآياته وأحكامه وأمره ونهيه على أقولهم وآرائهم. And they considered the ability of the Lord and His signs and His rulings and His commands and His prohibitions in accordance with their intellects and their own opinions. Sheikh al-Fawzan said, this is al-qiyas al-batil. This is false. This is the false and futile analogy. Making analogy with regard to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, the one who cannot be imagined by their minds and their opinions. So they rebut, based upon the analogy of their intellects, the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger. Sheikh Ahmad al-Najmi, rahimahullah, he mentioned in his explanation, this seems to be referring to the like of the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila. They brought this matter of analogy and their intellect into the religion, and used it to reject the texts. The texts with regard to Allah, the attributes of Allah the Most High, and other than that. So Sheikh Fawzan said, this is the false analogy with regard to Allah, make an analogy with regard to Allah, the Majestic and Most High, the one who cannot be imagined by their intellects and their opinions. But they rebutted texts, they rebutted the speech of Allah and the speech of His Messenger based upon analogies of their own intellects, making an analogy with their own intellects. And Sheikh Fawzan said, he's saying, فَمَا وَافَقَ أَقُولَهُمْ قَبِلُوهُمْ وَمَا خَالَفَ أَقُولَهُمْ رَدُّوهُ. So whatever conformed with their intellects, they accepted it. And whatever was contrary to their intellects, they rejected it. Sheikh Fawzan said, so they make their intellect and their opinions the judge. So whatever conflicts with it, they reject it. Either by ta'wil, either by explaining it away, interpreting it away, or by rafd, directly rejecting it and not accepting it. He said, he's saying, فَصَارَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَالسُّنَّةُ غَرِيبَةً وَأَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ غُرَبَاءَ فِي جَوْفِ دِيَارِهِمْ. So therefore Islam became a stranger, and the Sunnah became a stranger, and the people of the Sunnah became strangers within their own homes. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, just as he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, بدأ الإسلام غريبا وسيعود غريبا كما بدأ فطوبى للغرباء. Just as he, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Islam began as a stranger, and it will return to being a stranger, just the same as it began. So give glad tidings, give glad tidings of a treat in paradise to the strangers. In a footnote they mention, and the Shaykh continues with different wordings of the hadith, but this part of the hadith, they mention the footnote is reported by Muslim in his Sahih, as hadith 145, from hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, without what follows in the main text here. He said, and it's also reported by Muslim as hadith 146 from Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, Islam began as a stranger, and it will return to being a stranger just as it began, and it will retreat between the two mosques just as a snake returns to its hole. So both of these being wordings of Muslim. Then Shaykh Fawzan continued, having mentioned that first part of the hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Islam began as a stranger, and it will return to being a stranger just as it began. So give glad tidings to the strangers. Shaykh said, so then they said, who are the strangers, O Messenger of Allah? So he said, الَّذِينَ يَصْلُحُونَ إِذَا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ. وفي رواية يصلحون ما أفسد الناس. So in this continuation here, that the people, the companions, they said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who are the strangers, O Messenger of Allah? So he said, those who are upon correctness when the people become corrupted. And in one narration, those who correct whatever the people corrupt. Shaykh Fawzan said, they themselves are upon correctness. They correct themselves, are upon correctness. And they correct whatever the people have corrupted. They are the ghuraba, they are the strangers. Why are they called strangers, ghuraba? Because those who contradict them are many. And those who criticize them are many. So they are strangers amongst the people of their own lands and the people of their own time. Before moving on to the next point, then, in the footnote here, they bring some comments with regard to these additional wordings here. As for the wording, when the companions asked, who are they? Who are the strangers, O Messenger of Allah? And he replied, الَّذِينَ يَصْلُحُونَ إِذَا فَسَدَ النَّاسِ. They are those who are correct, upon correctness. Those who correct themselves are upon correctness when the people become corrupted. And they mention in the footnote that this wording is reported by Tabarani in Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir and Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat and Al-Mu'jam al-Saghir from a hadith of Sahl ibn Sa'id al-Sa'idi. And that Al-Haythami said in Majma al-Zawa'id, its narrators are those of the Sahih, except for Bakr ibn Sulaym, and he was reliable as well. As a side point, Shaykh al-Albani declared this narration authentic in As-Sahiha under hadith number 1273. They're strangers, they are those who are upon correctness themselves when the people become corrupted. As for the last wording that's mentioned, they are those who correct whatever the people corrupt. Then they mention in the footnote here that is reported by Tirmidhi and at Tabarani in Al-Kabir from a narration of Amr ibn Auf, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the religion began as something strange, or the religion began rather as a stranger, and it will return to being a stranger. So give glad tidings to the strangers, those who rectify what the people have corrupted after me, from my sunnah. And as a Tirmidhi said, this hadith is Hassan Sahih, good, authentic. As for Sheikh Al-Albani in his checking the site, when Sheikh Al-Albani is checking about Tirmidhi, declared this particular report here is Da'if Jiddan, very weak, not authentic. And then in the footnote also they mention a further wording reported by Ibn Abi Shayba and Imam Ahmad and Ad-Darimi and Ibn Majah and others from a hadith of Ibn Mas'ud that contains the wording, it was said, who are the strangers? And he said, An-Nuzza min al-Qaba'il. They are the scattered ones from amongst the tribes. And they mention here that Imam al-Bukhari declared that narration to be Hassan, as was reported from him by Tirmidhi, his student at Tirmidhi. And al-Baghawi said in Sharh al-Sunnah, the hadith is sahih, gharib, with a singular chain. And again, this particular report here was declared da'if by Sheikh al-Albani in Sunan ibn Majah, checking of Sunan ibn Majah. Wallahu a'lam. As for the next point, what occurs on page 438, what's numbered here, the number reappears here as point number 96, the saying of Imam al-Barbahari, rahimahullah, وَأَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْمُتْعَةَ مُتْعَةَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْإِسْتِحْلَالَ حَرَامٌ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And know that temporary marriage of convenience, al-mut'ah, and marrying a woman merely to make her lawful for her previous husband, al-istihlal, are forbidden till the day of resurrection. Sheikh al-Fawzan, hafidhullah, he said in explanation, this is a matter of fiqh. This issue here is a matter relating to fiqh, jurisprudence. This is a matter of fiqh. However, he brought it here because it has a connection to aqidah, it has a connection to creed and belief. Because al-mut'ah, temporary marriage of convenience, is to declare as lawful something which Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, has made forbidden. And al-mut'ah means, what this term mut'ah means, temporary marriage of convenience, it means to marry a woman for a certain set period, whether it be long or short. And after it, then the marriage ends automatically and does not require divorce. Meaning it's an agreed marriage for a certain period. So-and-so is marrying so-and-so for the period of, and the period is stated. As Sheikh Sahimi mentioned, whether it be a 6 months or a month or whatever it is, the period is stated. It's a marriage for this set period here. Stated period. As soon as that period is finished, the marriage is finished, without any divorce. Sheikh Fawzan said, carrying on with what he said, mut'ah, this temporary marriage, it used to be permissible at the beginning of Islam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade it at the Battle of Khaybar. And in the footnote they mention obviously the Battle of Khaybar, the well-known battle against the Jews of Khaybar in the 7th year of the Hijrah. And they mention in the footnote, Al-Bukhari reported in his Sahih, in the reference to the Hadith 4261, and also reported by Muslim in his Sahih, that's Hadith 1407, from Ali, radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forbade temporary marriage to the women on the day of Khaybar, and he forbade eating the meat of domestic donkeys. The hadith. So Sheikh Fawzan then said, he said that mut'ah, temporary marriage, used to be permissible at the beginning of Islam. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade it at the Battle of Khaybar. Then he permitted it on the day of the conquest of Mecca. Then he forbade it forever. the conquest of Makkah in the 8th year, it was permitted at that time again. It was made permissible again. And then after that, it was forbidden forever. And again, in the footnote they mentioned the hadith for that, reported by Muslim in his Sahih, that's hadith 1406, from Sabra al-Juhani, that he was with Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, O people, I have permitted you to take pleasure from the women, and Allah has forbidden that now until the day of resurrection. So whoever has something from them, then let that go on its way, and do not take from anything that you have given to them. And in one wording, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded us with al-mut'ah, temporary marriage, in the year of the conquest, when we entered Mecca. Then we did not depart from it until he had forbidden us from it. Sheikh Fawzan said, so to begin with, it was lawful. Then it was made forbidden. Then it was permitted. Then it was forbidden forever. And the Muslims are united in consensus, ijma, that it is forbidden. And that it is nikah and batil, false and futile marriage, baseless marriage. And the consensus of this nation that it is forbidden. There is the consensus of this nation that it is forbidden. No one disagrees with regard to that, except for the Shia, the Ja'faris, the Rafida. The Rafida, Ja'fari, Shia. No one else disagrees about this. It's forbidden, except them. They are the ones who contradict with regard to it. And their differing is not counted, and has no value. So there is consensus, ijma', and text to show that temporary marriage of convenience, al-mut'ah, is forbidden. It is a futile marriage, and it has the ruling of zina, fornication. He's saying al-mut'ah, mut'atun nisa', and why did the author, why did Imam al-Barrahari, why did he say mut'ah, meaning mut'ah of the women? He said, excluding by that mut'atul hajj. Maybe something else which the term mut'ah is used for, which is mut'ah of hajj. In other words, what's commonly called hajj tamattu, joining umrah to the hajj. That's also called mut'ah. So that's why the author said here, mut'ah, meaning mut'atul nisa, in temporary marriage to the women, not referring to mut'ah of hajj, hajj tamattu. So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, excluding by that mut'ah of hajj, which is that a person does tamattu, joining his umrah, performing umrah, and then performing hajj. This is not what is meant here. For tamattu, hajj, tamattu, is what was supported by the majority of the people of knowledge. And no one disagrees with regard to it, except a small number. But as for mut'ah of the women, I mean temporary marriage, then it is forbidden by consensus. No one disagrees about it from those whose disagreement is counted. Whereas mut'ah in hajj, I mean performing umrah, going out of ihram and then performing hajj, is a matter of fiqh. But as for mut'ah, which is temporary marriage, then it is a matter which has a connection to aqidah, creed and belief, because it is making permissible that which Allah, the Perfect and Most High, has made forbidden. الحمد لله وصلى الله على محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك